Our gospel lesson today is from the gospel according to Mark in the 11th chapter, the first 11 verses. We spent the last few months just in the first couple of chapters of Mark, and because of our liturgical season, we get to jump right into chapter 11. So hear these words. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. And those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." Here ends our reading from God's holy word. Let us pray. Oh God, I ask that you bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that it might be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. We heard of all the people that gathered in the streets to follow Jesus, to go before and to go behind, to throw branches down on the road and cloaks and coats so that the procession would have a clear path. It's like he's a conquering hero, only he hadn't conquered anything yet. They were in love with him. They'd fallen in love with him. They'd fallen in love with the moment. Those of us who have a more Western European bent to life as Christians, those of us who particularly are in the United States, have very individualistic societies. And so it's not a great surprise to discover that the most powerful and valuable projection most of us ever make is to fall in love. Yeah? Unfortunately, for some people, it's probably the most profound religious experience they are ever likely to have. To fall in love is to project the most noble part of one's being into another human being. Kind of a different definition, but falling in love is not the same thing as love, is it? Right? So to fall in love is to project the most noble part of yourself into another human being. Walter Wing, I never say his name right, I haven't since the 70s. Wangerin, Walter Wangerin's book on marriage, he writes this. He says, there is this false sense of love. Love lies a little. Love, the desire to like and to be liked, feels so good when it is satisfied that it never wants to stop. Therefore, love edits the facts in order to continue to feel good. I come sometimes refer to that as that romantic love, you know? We fall in love with someone. We court, we date. It's wonderful and we feel great. If For many of us, we get married to that person that we've fallen in love with. And then we start to learn the differences, don't we? Between the love that sustains you, that's a foundation, that recognizes the warts and the imperfections in each other and stays together and works within that context. And yet, sometimes we miss that romantic idealism, so we try to keep it alive as well. Yeah. Romantic love or falling in love is different from loving, which is always quieter and more humanly proportioned. There is always something overblown and bigger than life about falling in love. I'm not knocking it. It's just the way we're made, I guess, huh? Christianity comes with it many spiritual disciplines. And one of them is the practice of living more than the projection of love. Live at a love that is deeper instead of at a love that is romantic. It's hard to do. It is a spirituality. It is a discipline. Love that goes beyond all the superficial stuff into the kind that endures. We are invited to recognize that that's the way God loves us, that deep, quiet love, accepting of our humanity, inviting us into that relationship. But what we just heard from the Gospel of Mark about all the pomp and party was all about that falling in love, that rock star treatment, yeah? That 15 minutes of fame that we all seem to get in life, whether we want it or not. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We read earlier the very psalm that those words are taken from. That's a song they knew. They sang it. What happens after that 15 minutes of fame is done, huh? You ever heard of those people again? It's easier to get your 15 minutes of fame now, thanks to the internet and things like YouTube, yeah? You know, way back in the 60s, somebody had to pick up the story and print it and tell someone else, and then the news cameras had to come, and then it had to take its time, and oftentimes it would end up not being shown because there were other things more serious to put on the news than that someone rescued a kitten from a tree or said something brilliant in a sound bite. But nowadays, we can make our own film of ourselves and put it on the internet, and people watch YouTube, and after it gets so many hits, I think instead of employing journalists, I could be wrong, but instead of employing journalists, some of them employ people who sit there and watch the internet, and anything that gets 100,000 hits makes it onto the newsreel instead of some of the other things that are happening in the world. And you get that fame and that glory. Some of it shows things we maybe later regret, don't you think? You remember, I think it was a year ago, the Boy Scout leaders who went into the national park in Utah where the hoodoos were and were knocking them over because they were going to be taking their boys on a hike. And they were destroying these ancient, beautiful, earth-made monuments. And it was against the law. But they filmed themselves doing it and put it on YouTube. And they got their 15 minutes of fame. And they also got arrested. Yeah. So sometimes maybe we don't want that 15 minutes of fame. Other times, maybe we do. And then there's those of us who just like to fly under the radar and not get picked up a whole lot. God is love is the central claim to to our Christian faith. Throughout the scriptures, both Hebrew and New Testament, God is love is the most common description of our God. It's not based on abstract ideas. It's not based on sentimental, romantic notions. It's based on the fact that God's love is expressed through God's activities. Creation, sustaining us, giving us what we need to have life. Redemption, that we might be reconciled to God. And as Christians, we find that expression in a Trinitarian God. God the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer. God, three different ways that we know God. A deep, quiet, powerful love. A love that is not superficial. A love that moves Jesus to enter Jerusalem, knowing full well what was coming. I love that even though he hoped the outcome would be different, allowed him to endure the horrors of a crucifixion, to die, that we might know how great his love for us is. And so we sing our loud hosannas, we wave our palms, we bless them, and we like to be part of that group that follows Jesus down the hill into Jerusalem, screaming hosannas. But I'd like to invite us to not stay there in that frenzied, frantic, falling in love level. But as the week goes on, to use it as an opportunity to refocus. Help us reclaim a relationship with a God that loves us so deeply and invites us to experience that kind of love. Ask for help if we need it from God's Spirit, that we might love back in the same way. Jesus entered Jerusalem riding humbly on a donkey. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of God's complete attention that God would be so willing to come to us as Jesus, live fully human, experience whatever kind of love it is that we might give, and yet still love us at the most deep level, fighting through the pain and the suffering, that we might be transformed as people who really love our God. I pray it may be so in all of our lives, each day. Amen.